Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Ryan.
How are you?
Good.
Awesome. So
we finally got our guest, and that is my father. My father, well, he asked me, when I came back home one day, he asked me, hey, you don't mind if I be on the podcast? So I thought of it, of my room while I was playing games, and yeah, I really don't mind. Neither did Ryan.
No, I'm excited about it. I really am. I'm psyched. Almost every episode, you bring up your father and his experience with video games, his history of video games. So,
yeah.
And since this is old school, new school, and we're talking about both,
yeah,
I'm excited to get another old school player on my side, is really what I'm thinking. So, so I'm going to hand over the mic to your father. You guys go at it. I'm going to probably interject with some questions here and there. But, yeah, essentially, I'm really interested to know your history with video games, how that has, what that was in and of itself, but then also how that has translated into Jordan's love of video games and how you guys connect over that. So that's really my, I'm a new father, so I'm curious about these sorts of relationships and how one's passions and interests transfer over to their children and stuff. So without further ado, take it away, guys.
Hello there. My name is Raj, and I am Jordan's dad, and I bring the old school video games into it. I have introduced Jordan to a couple of old school games before.
Yes.
Games like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, that kind of stuff that was popular in the early 90s. But when I started playing video games, it was Pong. The first time I saw Pong, I was amazed. Like, we could actually do that? You know? And then it evolved. It went from Pong to, like, Centipede and Millipede and Commando and Pole Position. Pole
Galaga.
Position was popular. Galaga. I still have the high score in Galaga.
What was your high score?
I think it was 1,450 points.
1,400,000. Jeez.
Yeah. And then as time goes on, they made it into handheld games. The first time I saw handheld games, I was amazed because it was all in black and white, and it was like 1D, not even 2D. It was 1D, so you couldn't see. You only saw the lines, because everything was lines. It was just lines. So Pong was a line with a ball, and you move up and down to hit the ball.
Oh, yeah, now I remember.
Yeah. So then they got to the little handheld games. It was the same concept, basically. It's just lines. But, yeah, and it was, you know, when I saw that first time, I wanted one so bad. Yeah. And then as time goes on, Nintendo was introduced, the first home system. Yeah, and that would... That kind of took off. Mario was a big thing there. Mario, Donkey Kong, and yeah. But before that, you have to go to the arcade to play video games.
The place I went to. You don't see a lot of arcades.
No,
open.
Because of the introduction of like the home systems.
Yeah.
Has kind of wiped out the arcade days, but. Back in my days, we had competition in the arcade. So this is like the late 80s, early 90s, where they would have Street Fighter competitions because Street Fighter 2 had just came out and nobody has never seen anything like that. So they would have like Street Fighter 2 competitions and you would go there all day and wait and watch other players to learn different techniques so that you could beat the other opponent. And it was... It was an experience. I wish you could experience something like that, where there's a competition and you have arcade machines lined from wall to wall. You know, some places you walk in and it used to be, you walk in and you saw an arcade machine, right? Yeah. And it would be arcade machine of all different types of games in each wall. And back then, I think it was 25 cents to play.
And yeah, now it's like 40.
Is it 40 or 50 cents? Maybe.
50 or 40, depends on the game.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't know that, you know? Yeah, so some of the competition was really intense competition. I mean, to the point where little fights of scrimmage would break out because, you know, this one's doing something. They would say cheating, but I don't think it was cheating. It was a part of the game anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one day we were driving back from, I was in the military, and we were driving back from Virginia, and we stopped somewhere in New York. It was, you know, really rural area, and they had a store there. It was a rest stop, so we stopped there. And they had an old school Street Fighter game, like Street Fighter 2, the original Street Fighter 2. And I'm like, oh, I told your mom I'll lock up the game, so I put 25 cents in. And I did a move with Guile. I don't know if you know who Guile is.
Nah.
Guile is a character in Street Fighter. He's the guy from the USA.
Yeah.
And I froze the game. So nobody could come and put money in to play the game. But the game was still going. It's just that he wouldn't move. The other fighter was trying to fight and all that. And he couldn't do anything to him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's different secret moves in Street Fighter that he does. He could handcuff the game to where the game locks you out and stuff like that. But back then, we didn't have the internet to go look for that. You have to find out from people how they did those moves. Nowadays, you have the internet. You just go on there and you figure out what you're doing or what you want to do.
Yeah. When I first heard of Street Fighter and when my dad introduced me to Street Fighter, I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So when he first got he bought an arcade system and put it in our house, and it doesn't need quarters. You just hop on and play, and it's an old Street Fighter game, and you can select three Street Fighters. I forgot three of their names.
So I think it was Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter 2 Ultimate Edition, and Street Fighter 2 the Super Ultimate Edition.
And me and my dad were playing on Street Fighter. And he was always beating me. Either way, even if I played as the most powerful character, he would still beat me. No matter what. But I say he's the king of Street Fighter. But
no, there's other people out there that's way better than I am. I can't come close to some of these kids out here. In Japan, I know Street Fighter is a big thing. China, you know, all those countries. I know Street Fighter is a big thing. But I don't just play Street Fighter. I have grown over the years to evolve with the whole gaming system, even till today. I play video games today. I was playing 2K last night, NBA 2K. I'm waiting for the new update on Modern Warfare so I could try that out. So I have grown, you know. And being in the military, I play a lot of military games too at the same time, because most of my friends, they're ex-military, and we all get together sometime and just play, you know, just for fun. And it really calms you down. But one thing I've noticed with video games nowadays, it's a lot more intense than when we play video games back in the day. In the day, it was enjoyable to play video games, you know? I mean, yeah, you would get frustrated, but when you get frustrated, you would leave it. Nowadays, I think it's more, it's so intense that you're just glued to the screen.
It's competitive, because this is what other companies do. They add something to the game that you may like, and then you get so attached to it that you grow a bond with the game, pretty much. and then you nonstop play that game. But then you meet someone that's a lot better than you and has a bigger addiction to this game than you.
And I think in some way it does take away the fun of the game, though, if you're that competitive all the time.
Yeah, if you're like, I go on a lot of games and I see a lot of people competitive, and whenever I see that competitiveness, I just leave the lobby. I don't want to deal with it.
So a few years ago, I actually played FIFA competitively, like FIFA soccer. And it was starting to get to the point where I would not want to do anything around my house. And it was pretty intense because their competition level was very high, and like you play players from around the world. You just don't play players that are locally. On some servers you play players that are locally. And yeah. I thought that was the coolest thing until I started playing players like in Europe, Asia, and stuff like that. And when we get, you would be in an intense match. And I realized, I'm like, this is not good for my health.
Because
of all the competitiveness. You know, when you're done, I have a splitting headache. Because, all my energy and time is consumed here. And I was like, no, I can't do this no more. So now I have learned over the years that I need to play the game to enjoy it. Not play the game to win every time. Because it's not all about winning. So when Jordan was little, I have to tell this story. He didn't have an Xbox or a PlayStation or anything like that. He used to play with mines. I bought a Wii, and he started off with that. But I put games like Mario Brothers and like Donkey Kong and stuff like that on the Wii so he could play. And that's how Jordan really started playing video games. Jordan was like actually 3 years old. And he started, having fun, the bowling game and the bat game. It was a Wii. And then as the years progressed, as he got older, we decided to get him Xbox. Because we're big Xbox fans. But he had a PlayStation, too. He had my old PlayStation. And we would sit in his room, and we would just have conversations about the game, And imagine me talking to a five-year-old about what game he's playing. I didn't think Minecraft was out yet. Was it?
No.
It was, these little games little kids play. And then all of a sudden, one day he asked me for Call of Duty. Now, I was playing Call of Duty, but I never played competitively. It was all for fun right now. And he asked me for it, and I spoke with his mom, and she said, it's a shooting game and he likes it. And that's how Jordan started. And me and him, I would spend hours in his room just watching him, trying to teach him different techniques and stuff like that. But that was our bonding time, kind of. Just talking to him and watching him play. I mean, we have other moments that we bond over, but that right there, I think that draws us closer, because sometimes I think he's my best friend rather than my son. And then he graduated and to the next level of video games, which was the new version of the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So then we graduated from there, and as time goes on, he's gotten most of it except the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I heard that when the PlayStation 5 first came out, they had a huge bug with it, so I didn't bother with it. So
yeah, and some days I have to yell up to him like, "Hey, Jordan, you need to calm down. You're getting a little too competitive there."
Oh God, you don't want to hear me in my room.
Yeah, our neighbors were complaining one day. our neighbors came over and like, hey, is your son okay? And I'm like, yeah, he is. He's fine. I heard him at like 1 o'clock in the morning screaming at the top of his lungs. And I'm like, okay. So I had to kind of talk to Jordan about, hey, you know, we got to keep in mind we have neighbors. And you can't be screaming at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, so usually when I play at night, I try to keep it to a minimum of, I don't know how much volume in the room. Because I have my TV volume completely off, so they can't hear anything. All they can hear is my voice. And it sounds like I'm a damn psychopath in my room.
And the bad part about it is that I walk in his room is dead silent, but we could hear him.
Yeah, so my mom walked into the room one day, and I had my headset on, and my mom walked into the room, and I was talking to one of my buddies, and she's like, who are you talking to? She was so confused, and I said, Mom, I'm talking to my buddies, Andrew and them, and my mom said, oh, okay, and then she left. I'm sitting there like, does my mother not know about Xbox?
Well, it's not that she doesn't know. She doesn't know who you're talking to, as in, to her motherly instincts come out then.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, who are you talking to in relation to, do you know these people that you're talking to?
Yeah.
You know, rather than who you're just talking to, you know, because if it's kids your age, that's fine. But sometimes I know you guys play with other people and they're grown. And that's where the fear comes in with mom.
Yep.
But like I tell Jordan, and this is advice for everyone, don't give out your name and your number and your address and stuff like that. You have friends, keep them as friends online because they're not really in your life, you know. And I speak to Jordan about that a lot because nowadays the video games have gone to where you could connect with people in Russia, you know, from the U.S. and you don't know the difference.
See, I've seen a lot of videos out there with them getting to know the person on Xbox and then them getting backstabbed and betrayed on that system. Because I was sitting there, I was watching this one video. This dude said that another guy had a friend on Xbox, and he got his IP address. And the IP address means your personal location, where you live, and all that. So the dude called the cops and had a SWAT team send in, and the dude got arrested for it. But I don't suggest you do that. That's very... No.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, they could get your IP address. I mean, one day Jordan was playing and some kid sent him our location. So, but the good part about it is that we have one of those
VPNs.
VPN. So it bounces from location to location. So he sent up, he was right in what state we lived in, but he didn't know
where
exactly we lived in. It was giving him like Bennington, and he was telling Jordan, you live in Bennington. And I told Jordan, like, yeah, you need to kind of step away from this game, get out of the lobby, shut it off for a little while, you know, because it's crazy how they could tell that now from just your IP address. And a lot of people don't understand how it works. So yeah. And yeah, but the new school games are pretty intense. I play it for enjoyment. I don't play competitively no more. A few years ago, I used to play competitively. I used to play Madden competitively. I used to play FIFA competitively until Jordan has gotten to age now, and he just plays competitively.
Dad, I remember one time you played FIFA so competitively that you had to paint fix the wall.
Yeah, that's how competitive the FIFA got to me, you know, to where I broke the wall. I slammed my controller on the floor and it smashed against the wall. Yeah. So
And
you have any questions about old school games?
Galaga.
Galaga. Okay. So Galaga, here's how I put it. The people that built Galaga, it's the same thing over and over. They just add two features or three features at you know. There's one algorithm there, right? And as you go up in the stages or the boards, it's the same thing. They just add one or two little pieces in there. So you just gotta think, you know, with one or two pieces. And like anything, like people beat a Rubik's Cube, right?
Yeah.
So if you could figure out the algorithm, then you could figure out how to beat it.
Oh, the Rubik's Cube we have at home. You can't beat it.
I don't know. It was all written on the same algorithm, though. You know, it's all algorithm-based, to where every single video game, it's a code that's algorithm-based. So the harder it gets, you know, the algorithm is telling it, hey. And I think that was the first time we ever had an algorithm in video games. Yeah.
So, what else?
The first time I saw Mortal Kombat, I almost fainted. That was nice. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat was brutal.
Yeah, that was...
It was a good game.
Mortal Kombat in 1994, I want to say.
Probably.
I remember seeing Mortal Kombat back then where it was completely pixelized and really you couldn't see anything in like 2D or 3D. But now seeing Mortal Kombat today, like Mortal Kombat 11, they came out with that, and seeing it, it's complete 3D. And I'm sitting here like, oh my god, this has got to be the best Mortal Kombat game ever.
Okay, so when Mortal Kombat came out, remember, everything was still cartoony at that time. There was nothing realistic about video games yet. Everything was still cartoony. So these guys figured out a way how to take a photo of a real person, right?
Yeah.
And make it into the video game. I think Mortal Kombat is where video games and developers started pushing the limits with video games. Because that was the first time I saw real humans, and I was astonished. I was like, whoa, what is this? You know. And then learning to play it was another task by itself. I mean, you could beat the game by just jump kicking it, by just doing the jump kicks beat the game. But the problem is that you would have to time everything right. And again, it goes back to if you figure out the algorithm, you could beat it. So back then, and like I said, we didn't have the internet to learn all these codes. And
you had to watch people.
So we would watch, learn, and like we would have to come together as a group who plays the game and say, hey, you know, this is how you do it, you know, and then we would try. I mean, it probably cost us a lot of 25 cents. But back then, you know, 25 cents went a long way. Nowadays, 25 cents, yeah, you can't buy candy for 25 cents, I don't think.
No. And plus, wasn't back then you, like, old U.S. dollars, like, actually works worth something, not like now?
Yeah. So I grew up in a different country. I grew up in Trinidad. You know this.
Yeah.
So I didn't come here until 1996 when I graduated high school. I came here. My parents relocated to Queens. So back then, 25 cents in Trinidad was like nothing, like it is here now. You know, you couldn't buy stuff for 20, but to play the video game for 25 cents was a big deal. So if you had a dollar and four quarters, you could play four games. I don't know if you know this game. It's Mortal Kombat 5. Do you know that one? Yeah, so Mortal Kombat 5 was the first game I ever played as a 3D game. And it was weird because you could like sidestep. And before you couldn't sidestep, so the 3D, when they brought the 3D aspect into it, that took a lot of getting used to. But if we go back a few years, the guys that make Tekken, those guys put 3D in their game. And you could sidestep. So I wasn't a big Tekken player because of the way the game was set up. Like King, I don't know if you know Tekken. King is a wrestler. But King could hold you. He could grab you from a distance, you know. And I'm like, that makes no sense. But looking back at it, he was the most powerful guy in the game, you know, because he could grab you and continuously grab you until he killed you. Whereas the other guys were like regular our shooter power. I could hit you one time and you'll fall down. Yeah. He wouldn't fall down. He would just continue to grab you and grab you and grab you. So I was never a big Tekken player. Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. Mortal Kombat 3, I learned a lot of secrets because that's when I was a little bit older. I was like 16, and I started playing competitively. And when we started playing competitively, it was, you know, we would have Friday nights. I remember we had a shop. It was just like a regular shop, right? And they had one video game in there, and it was Mortal Kombat. And Mortal Kombat 3. And the group of people, the crowd of people that drew, it was crazy because all the little kids wanted to come out there and play. And it was three of us that was actually really good at the game. And everybody would watch to see who's better than who. So it was the three of us just playing against each other. And it was like pool. When you play pool, winners stay on the board. Yeah. So whoever won, stay on the game. So the next person will come challenge him. And it would get sweaty in there because it's hot in Trinidad. And they only have a fan in the room. And you have like 30 people surrounding this one machine. It got hot.
Wow.
And that was the first time my mom actually saw me play competitively. Yeah, because they didn't understand the video game and how it works. All they understood was, oh, you're spending money on something you're never going to enjoy, you know. Yeah.
That is something.
Yeah.
I only interrupt because you brought up something that we've never talked about and something I sort of have forgot that, you know, Jordan and I have talked about arcades a little bit, but the businesses that had one or two games is something I haven't thought about in years, but this was a thing, Jordan. Like, you go to a pizza place, they'd have one video game. You go to a laundromat, they'd have one video game. A corner store, and have one video game. And it was, I'm sure, a good revenue service for them. They got people in their establishment to stay there a while, especially if you were selling sodas and candy. You probably made a killing. But just such an... It only struck because I hadn't thought about that, but it was a thing that certainly in the late 80s, early 90s was everywhere. That they would just be like, oh, there's a pinball game and Donkey Kong, or, you know.
And they would make tons of cash because if they weren't running the actual business, right, itself and weren't selling candy and all that, but instead they were just all coming in for that arcade machine, they would still get cash because at the end of the day, they unlock the arcade machine, pull out the bucket of quarters that just sit there, and then put it in the cash register and then be able to pay off with quarters. It's absolutely horrifying for the person that they're paying it to, but that's how they kept their businesses up and running, even if they didn't really sell anything.
And I was, the only other thing I'll mention is I was never good, I guess, at video games, maybe. So I was fine, but I was not, certainly never got competitive in the arcades. I was the person who went and watched the people like you just kicking butt at these video games and being like in awe as a young kid. It was you know you watch someone even 3 years older than you if you're 10 or 11, and it's like, oh, this is a big teenager that is amazing at this thing that I am pumping quarters in, and they're putting one in and playing for a half an hour, you know. It was such an interesting thing that was of that time, and we've moved past that, and that's not really a thing anymore. But and the other thing that it made me think of when you guys were talking about playing online, which I'm not a new school guy. I don't think I've ever gone on and played with someone in another country or anything like that. My experience was Friday nights after school, staying at some friend's house, and four of us would play Metroid till 3 a.m. or something. And like you said, like, some people know how to do this and other people know how to do this. So you kind of help each other through these different things. Yeah, that's all I really wanted to say. Just the idea of going with my mom for her to run an errand somewhere and being like, oh, they have a video game here. Can I have a quarter so I'm not bored while you buy toilet paper and, you know, milk? This sounds awesome. So, so I'm going to hand the mic back. We should probably kind of wrap it up here. This has been super interesting. So you guys keep going for a couple minutes.
All right, so to add to your experience, how the whole video game work in a store is that there was a distributor, right? He would distribute the video games to the store, but the store only gets a certain percentage. The distributor got more of the percentage. So it's like a 60-40 split. You know, the store has to pay the electric bill and get a little bit of profit. But the distributor, the guys that's renting this stuff, they're getting 60% of whatever the machine makes. And they're the only ones with the key. The only reason how I know this is because I asked. I asked somebody who was a video game distributor, hey, what, you know, how does it work? And he kind of told us, because I became friends with him after he's seen me so many times at the store and stuff like that. But yeah, but like you said, it used to be all over, laundromats, wherever. In 2003, still living in New York, used to go to the laundromat just to play video games. Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't like, it's been a while, because everybody now is going to move to the home base stuff. There's no going to the arcade where there's an authentic old school arcade. Now you go to the arcade and you got that bowling machine, or you're winning tickets. I don't want to win tickets. I want to play a video game.
So,
go ahead.
So, that would be a ski. That would be skee ball. But yeah, but since when they had an arcade and when they added tickets, that's when you can start winning prizes, and that's a whole another level of the middle between new and old school.
I just wanted to bring this up. I'm not sure if either of you got to go to it, but I'm gonna say 2 years ago, maybe 2.5-3 years ago, a spot opened up in Rutland where they opened up for a few hours on the weekend at night or something. And I think it was kind of two guys that thought of it and kind of put it on. They rented out this space in downtown Rutland and found different collectors in the area that had the old school arcade games, and they set them up, and you could go in, and they had probably had 10 or 15 machines, and they had Mortal Kombat, and they had, you know, a bunch of stuff, and they left them open so you could just keep giving yourselves credits and you could play for hours. And I got to go once, and I was like, this is a time machine for me. It is like, hey, I was with my wife who didn't experience any of that. And she's like, what? I was like, we're just going to go play some video games. It's going to be, so hopefully that kind of stuff comes back a little bit, even if it's once in a while, for us older people to kind of relive and younger people to go experience what we got to do. And if I hear about it again, I'll certainly let you both know. So it was very cool. I'm forgetting what I ended up getting to play there, but there was some games that I was. And the other thing before we go, just talking about the distributors and that sort of thing. I grew up, my family operated a theme park, and we had an arcade in the theme park. And I have a cousin who's a year younger than me. We both were like, we've been on the roller coaster, we've been on the Ferris wheel, we just want to hang out in the arcade. Like, the rest of this is awesome, but I want to be at the arcade. And the deal was like, fine, you get 50 cents to play in the machines we don't own. The machines we do own, play as much as you want, because we're not losing any money on it. And we had, I don't think we probably have Mortal Kombat, but we had the Spy Hunter sit-down game, which was awesome. As a little kid, it was so cool to sit in a car and drive. And we have Ms. Pac-Man and Donkey Kong, and Gauntlet was another one I think we had. Anyway, I got to see that distribution part. And the other nice thing about the distributors were, from a business standpoint, you didn't have to spend X amount of dollars owning a video game and having it forever. You could say, hey, why don't you switch out Ms. Pac-Man 2 for whatever, you know?
So it was whatever game was popular at the time. Yeah. So, and one more old school thing I got to touch on. Did you know that back in the day, some video games came without a joystick?
What?
Centipede came with a ball that you rolled. Yeah. You have to roll the ball.
Oh.
And it was flat. So you stood over it like you know how the pinball machines are like angled?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So think about it as a flat screen that you're looking into and you're rolling the ball back and forth.
Oh.
And I think Pole Position was the first video game with a steering wheel.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We should wrap up, but thanks everyone for listening. I'm sure this has been one of the most interesting episodes. It has been for me.
It's been very interesting for me.
We definitely have to get you back. And I think, Jordan, we should probably think about getting some other guests that have had experiences with video games, because this has been fun to hear your story about it. Sorry,
it's
Siri.
The iPad.
Siri wants to be a guest on the podcast. So, no problem, Siri. Thanks anyway. Thanks for listening so much, Jordan. You want to say goodbye to everybody?
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Goodbye and have a lovely day.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.